The title of our sermon this morning is The Christ-Honoring Home. The Christ-Honoring Home, and we are on part four of that series that we find in Colossians chapter 3. And before we get into our passage this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His help and blessing on our time. Father, we thank You for the rich blessing that You have given to us through the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who is worthy, the one who came and died for our sin and rose again on the third day, conquering sin, conquering death, and giving salvation to all those who would place their faith and trust in Him. Lord, we thank You for Your word. And it is with great joy that we gather this morning, and it is for this set purpose, to hear from You this morning. May You be honored and praised in the proclamation of Your truth, and may Your people be edified. May we, O God, apply these truths to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you know, we have been examining the Christ-honoring home. That is the home that honors Christ. The home that submits to the lordship of Jesus Christ. The home that demonstrates the supremacy of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ, as that is the call upon our lives through the letter of the Colossians, to show that Christ is indeed supreme, that He is preeminent, and because of that, He is absolutely sufficient, and He's sufficient for all things for us to live a life to please Him. And that even goes into the home. We have looked at chapter 3, verse 18, and the command and the instruction given directly to wives, where Paul writes, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." That the wives are called to be submissive to their husbands with the motive of pleasing the Lord. And then we spent a few sermons thinking about husbands and considering that the call of God upon husbands' lives to lead and love and to be learners of our wives, that we might faithfully point them in the direction of Christ and serve them and love them as God has called us to love them as Christ loved the church, and not to be embittered against them. And just as God, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, directly addressed wives and directly addressed husbands, we see in verse 20 that He directly addresses children. And so today, we're going after the kids. We're going to preach a sermon today directly to children. Now look at verse 20 with me. It says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." You see that God speaks directly to the children. And here the age of the children is not defined. This isn't necessarily a word just for the young children, those maybe 0 to 6 years old or 0 to 10. It's the general term for children. And you can see from the context of this passage that Paul is writing specifically about the family unit. the husbands and the wives, the fathers and parents and children. And so, though I am still my mother's child, I'm no longer under her, my parents' authority. And so this passage is directly for those who are still under the protection and authority of their parents. So this is specifically for those of you who are still under your parents' roof, still living under their protection and their authority. So we'll just give a rough 0 to 18 years old here. If you are in that range, this sermon this morning is for you. So kids, and what we call our teenagers here, young adults, listen up today. I want you to put away the doodling paper. I want you to put away your toys. And if you are able to take notes, get your pen and your paper ready. I want you to have your Bibles open. And if you don't have a Bible, then get ready to look at the Bible of your mom or your dad so you can follow along. And if you can't read, that's okay. Let your mom or your dad point in the Bible where we're at. I want you to listen today. Even if you're really, really little. So, pay attention. And those of you who don't classify as children, if you have kids, then you need to pay attention, of course, because this should be your primary instruction to your kids. And if you don't have kids, one day maybe you will, and then you will know how to instruct your children. And then I hope at the end of the sermon, just to bring a slight exhortation to the parents as we get ready to reflect upon the Lord's table this morning. So, kids, are you ready? I might even ask you to answer something out loud. So be ready. Children, there are two simple things that you need to know, that you need to do as children. Just two things that you need to do, that you're responsible for as children. Number one, you need to obey God. You need to obey God. You have to obey God. You must obey God. Look at the verse again with me. You see that first word there in the verse? Children. Children. In other words, God directly speaks to children. God wants children to listen to Him. This is God's Word, right? The Bible is God's Word. And though men wrote, it was the Holy Spirit that gave the apostles, the writers of Scripture, the words to say. Won't go into all the details there, but essentially this. Every word is God-breathed. Every word that you find in this book, little ones, is from God. Is from God. And God speaks to you. He says, children. Now just think about that. You're sitting in the church at Colossae and you get this letter that all the adults are so excited to receive. Hey, we just got a letter from God. We just got a letter from the Apostle Paul. He has written to us. And as the reader reads it, you hear, children, children. God expects you to listen to him. And even more so, we know that God wants you to listen and obey him, because even later on in the verse of chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "For this is well-pleasing to the Lord." In other words, the instructions that God will give to you in this verse are all about pleasing him. It's all about God. It's all about Christ. God wants you to listen and obey. But there's other places than just this one verse where God talks directly to children. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, the one that God had write this letter wrote Ephesians and Colossians around the same time of his life. He was chained to a Roman guard, a prison guard. And he was there for 2 years. And during that two-year span, he wrote four letters: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And so much of what is written in Ephesians and Colossians will sound very much the same. There's what are called parallel passages. Passages that you can look at and say, look, here it says the same thing, just a little bit differently. And that happens in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Look at that verse with me, kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, this is the verse that we have had our kids memorize. We have this thing, especially when we're asking our kids to obey us, or when we're dealing with a consequence or a discipline issue, we say, what does God say? We don't want to make it about us. Well, what does God say? And he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But then he does something different here in this letter. The apostle quotes from another place in the Bible written many, many years before he wrote. You see in verse 2, kids, he says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that, in verse 3, it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. In other words, this writer saying, children, obey your parents, is saying you need to do that because God, many, many, many years ago, already said you need to obey your parents. In other words, the Bible, from the beginning, has expected you as children to obey God. To obey God. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. You have the Ten Commandments. Now, some of you probably can quote the Ten Commandments. If you were here for my ordination, that was one of the questions that really tripped me up. Because I realized at that moment, I have never, word for word, memorized the Ten Commandments. But I knew where it was, I couldn't tell you it in order. And I think I added one or two. It was a bad moment in my ordination process. But nonetheless, it's still here, even if I fail to remember it. And in chapter 20, verse 12, it's the fifth commandment given. God says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. This is a long time ago. God says to children, you need to honor your father and your mother. And the issue is this. That means God expects you to obey him. God is your authority, kids. Whether you want to believe it or not, whether you feel like it or not, God is in charge, and you need to obey him. You also know Genesis 1:1, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Probably sang a song to that. God created everything. And he created everything for a specific purpose, and that purpose was to do everything he wanted it to do. One of the main reasons you are here today, that you were born, is so that you would obey God. You must obey God. Who here has played with Play-Doh before? Or something like it? You know, you form some of that art stuff, right? And you, let's just say you want to make Play-Doh look like a cat. You're like, I want to make a cat. Now, that'd be probably pretty hard. I'm not good at any art stuff, but to make Play-Doh look like a cat, that would be really difficult. But let's just say you're really, really good with Play-Doh. And so you go to make a cat, and then all of a sudden your Play-Doh says, hey, who wants to be a cat? I want to be a dog. We're not cat fans here. Well, some of us are, but that's all right. I want to be a dog. Wouldn't that be pretty ridiculous? Would it scare you for a second? I mean, that'd freak me out if I heard your Play-Doh talking to you. But that would be ridiculous for the thing that's being made to say, hey, what are you doing? I don't want that. And yet that's often how we act as children and adults, right? Every time we disobey God. God has created us to live for him, to obey him. And for you to live your own way, not listening to God, being selfish, unkind, complaining, whining, we'll talk about that a little more. You're saying to God, I don't want to do what you want. Which is ridiculous because God made you. You're responsible to obey him. You were designed to obey God, plain and simple. And this means, kids, that you need to learn the Bible. You need to know the Bible. You need to read the Bible for yourself. You need to memorize the Bible. You need to study the Bible. The Bible is not only for grown-ups. Now, there are some passages that are hard to understand for all of us. But you need to read the Bible from the very beginning. When you learn how to read, make sure that you read some of the Bible as well. If you don't know how to read, ask your parents, please read me the Bible. I want to know what God says. Memorize Bible verses. Hide God's word in your heart so that when temptation comes to sin, when you know, your mom says, you know, you ask, hey, can I have a cookie? And she says, no, not right now. We're about to have dinner. And you're like, okay. She leaves the room and you're looking around. And I'm just going to have one bite. I just want it bad. When you're tempted like that, you can say, oh no, God says to obey my parents in the Lord, for this is right. Even if they say not to have a cookie. So I'm going to obey. You need to know the Bible so that you can obey God. Which places a huge responsibility upon us, right, parents? We need to be faithful to get them in the Word of God. Not only that, kids, follow the example of older people who read, study, memorize, and obey God's Word. Do you know older people who say they love God and show that they love God by looking at His Word, by reading His Word, by memorizing His Word, and obeying His Word? Look at those examples and obey God. You are required to obey God. You have to obey God. He made you, and therefore you must obey Him. And He has spoken directly to you in Colossians 3:20, which we have read. He says, children, and therefore you need to obey Him. So, question, kids. If you're feeling a little courageous, can be an older one, that's fine. What's the first thing that you need to do as a child? Anybody? Obey God. Thank you, Jackson. Obey God. Why? Anybody want to answer that? Why do you need to obey God? Because He created you, and because He has directly spoken to you. You need to obey God. Number two, ready? You need to obey your parents. It's real simple, right? It's not hard to know. Obey God, obey parents. That's what God wants from you. Two things. Obey God and obey your parents. Now, what does it mean to obey? It means to follow instructions or to do what you are told to do. If your mom or dad says, hey, it's time to go to bed, you go to bed. But what instructions or rules or commands does God want you to obey from your parents? You see in the verse there, Colossians 3:20, children, be obedient to your parents when you feel like it. Is that what it says? Children, be obedient to your parents when you get a little bit older. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Everything. Anything and everything that your parents tell you to do, you obey. Now, some of you might be thinking, so we really have to obey everything our parents tell us to do? I mean, I'm like 15 years old. I really got to obey my parents. Yes. Yes. In everything. What if they tell me to do something that God doesn't want? I got a question for you kids here. Now think about it. Have your parents ever commanded you to do something that God doesn't want you to do? Have they? Have they told you to cheat? Okay, today you got to get an A. So when you go into that classroom, I don't care. Here's $20. You can give your friend who knows it. They'll slide you just the answer sheet. You just trade it over, and you got to get an A. No? Have they told you to lie? Have they told you cannot read your Bible? You're never going to church again. That's what I thought. Not here. Maybe unreasonable commands from parents. Things that maybe they need to get a little more wiser in and go, okay, well, do I really need to require that of them? But they've never told you to do something that God doesn't want you to do. That means you need to do everything they tell you to do. For example, if they tell you to clean your room, what do? Obey, clean your room. Does that mean you just shove everything in the closet and hope they don't find out that, oh, it's done? Do a little bit? No. If they say go to bed, you go to bed. If they say brush your teeth, you say how long? If they tell you to take out the trash, do you just, that's disgusting. I mean, do you see the trash today? It's got I think I'm talking about myself here. Did you see what's on it? I don't want to touch that. They say clean the bathroom. You mean the toilet too? Yes. And none of this whining stuff, right? You don't see your mom or your dad ever complaining about anything, do you? Okay, sorry, parents. But when they do it, it's also wrong. It's wrong. The Bible says in Philippians 2:14, do everything without grumbling and complaining. Everything. He leaves nothing out. Every work assignment, every chore. Every time you got to clean a poopy diaper. And so that goes for you too, kids. Everything that God says that your parents tell you to do, you must do it. One pastor said, there are no Jake brakes. Have you ever heard those loud trucks? None of that. Go clean your room. No. None of this throwing yourself on the floor. I don't want to. But I'm still watching a movie. Can I play longer, please? I don't want to go to bed. Eat your peas. Okay, don't ever make them eat peas. Those are disgusting. But eat them. Obey. Obey. I had a big problem when I was a kid of obedience, especially when it came to math. So I was homeschooled for some of the time growing up, and I just never, ever wanted to do math. But I had to. And so my grandma was visiting for a few weeks, and my parents were gone, and I acted the same way I did when my parents told me to do my math or when I was sitting there with my mom. And when a problem got really hard, I just didn't do it. Then I got told to do it again. And then I'd whine. And then I'd complain. And I even got my grandma to call down blessing from God on all of America. Then when my dad would get back, you know, you have your teacher, your mom, and the principal, your dad, and we lived in the parsonage, and so the church office that my dad was at was right across the parking lot, and if I was really resistant or disobedient, my mom would send me to my principal's office. My dad, and you did not want to go over there because of disobedience. There was these pews in our church, and I could barely reached the front of them, but I had to lean over those things for some consequences. But I would go over there. And a math problem, if I just took the time, it'd just take me 2 minutes and I could go play, which is what I wanted to do. And I would whine, and I would complain, and then I would get a consequence, and then I'd whine, and then I'd complain, and I'd be over there for hours. I'm not joking, hours before I would do what they told me to do. And I was wrong. It's wrong. If your parents say, do your math problem, do your math problem. And you need to be obeying your parents all the time. Again, whether you feel like it or not, whether you want to or not, or whether your friends have to do that or not, or whether it makes you happy or not, whether your brother or your sister has to do that same thing or not. Whether you are playing with your friends or watching a movie or playing with your toys or playing video games, or even if you're doing something else that you've been told to do, when your parents say, do this, obey. Now, you may have set up some wise things with your children as they continue to get older to say, hey, you know what? I may tell you to do something and you might only have like 5 minutes left on it. And you might say, you know what? Mom, Dad, I'm willing to obey. But we have like 5 minutes left in this movie. Is it okay if we just finish that with you? And so you can respectfully and willingly obey and talk to your parents. But if they say, no, it's time for bed now, you go to bed. You show that you're willing to obey. Listen, it is wrong no matter what to disobey your parents. You remember we read Ephesians 6:1. What does God say? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Right according to God. That means, children, if you disobey your parents, it is wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong to disobey. It's wrong to whine. It's wrong to complain. It's wrong to throw a fit. It's wrong to roll your eyes. It's wrong. What if they never catch you? Oh, some of you are thinking, well, okay, I'll do it when they're watching me. But you know, you got that sly ability to be like, they'll never know if I just, I'll partially do it. Oh, I'll just do a little bit, just the things that they're going to look at. Well, God always sees everything. There's no sin that you have done that God has not seen. There's no thought you've ever thought that God has not already seen. You cannot get away with anything. You know the book of Proverbs. There, a dad is giving his sons some instructions. And part of those instructions, he says, you know what? God's always watching you. And that's important. Because if you get away with it here, it's going to be way worse when you meet God. You need to obey your parents. And you need to obey your parents because God says so. Remember, it's not just because your parents say so. Your parents were given this authority. Remember, the first thing you need to do, you need to obey God. And God says, you must obey your parents. This is God's world, and God has given your parents authority over you, and so you must obey them. Some of you older ones have probably been seeing all these riots and the ridiculousness going on in our country, right? And all this authority just being put to the side and saying, I'm not going to obey this, I'm not going to obey that. Probably what you would find with all those kids, I don't know, is that they were really never taught to obey their parents. And so when authority comes and they don't want it, like it, they just rebel. They disobey God. It's wrong. And not only do you need to obey your parents because God has commanded you to, another reason that you might want to obey God, it's not the main reason, but it's important because God talks a lot about it, is because there are consequences if you don't. There are consequences if you don't obey God. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, let's not go there so that we can hurry up for the kids' sake. Listen, if you did not obey over and over and over and over and over again, guess what they did? What they could have done. They would drag you out in front of all the people, and all the people would throw rocks at you and kill you for being constantly disobedient, so that they could remove the wickedness from them. You think, whoa, God says that? But there's something way worse than that. There's something way worse than being stoned to death. I'm not talking about the stoning that goes on in our culture. Back then, there's something worse than that. God says he'll send you to hell forever if you never obey. That's a lot. Romans 1:20 says that God's wrath is upon those who constantly disobey their parents. So older ones, especially, listen. If you are always disobeying your parents, but you say you love Jesus, there's probably a problem there. You may not actually know Jesus. You need to really think about that. But it's not just enough, just you don't want consequences. That's one reason to obey, but there's more than that. And most importantly, you see in verse 20 of Colossians 3, the reason you need to obey your parents is because it pleases the Lord. It's the way God designed it. He says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's acceptable to him. It's well-pleasing. It's satisfying. It's the way that God designed it to do. In Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the way that God wants it. It's the way that God designed it in his perfect wisdom. It's the best thing for you. Obey your parents. Obey. Because it pleases the Lord. Now, for those of you who are wondering if you are truly a Christian, some of you older ones, perhaps, You know, you've professed that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. You turn from your sin. And you wonder, am I really saved? Now, this is for you. This would be part of your motive in your obedience to your parents. Does pleasing the Lord come to mind when your parents tell you what to do? Or is it just, oh, if I don't, this is going to happen. Oh, if I don't, so they're gonna talk to me for like 100 years, and then I'm not going to be able to go hang out with my friends. Or is it, you know what? It pleases God. It pleases God. And that's why I want to do it. This is why God created you and me, to please Him. Kids, you need to obey God, and you need to obey who? Your parents. Now, why? Why? Because God told you to, you're right. And in the end of the verse 20, it says, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. I just want to talk to the parents for a second. And then I'm going to say one more thing to you kids. Don't just check out for the rest. We're really important at the end here, okay? But for parents, it's amazing. God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the whole point of the Christian life, and in that context of some of the suffering that goes on in life. Paul says in verse 9, we make it our ambition, whether here on this earth or whether we're dead and our bodies are gone, we make it our ambition to please, to be pleasing to Him. That's the whole point of life, to be pleasing to the Lord. And we as Christians, we understand that. It's our absolute desire, our all-consuming passion, the longing of our hearts. We just want to please the Lord. The Christian life, you don't become a Christian just so that you can feel good about yourself. You don't become a Christian so that you can have everything you ever wanted. We don't believe that lie, right? And it's not just so that you can get to heaven, right? I mean, that's part of it. It's amazing. If you repent of your sin and you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you go to heaven. That's awesome. But the whole point is so that we would be pleasing to God. And so parents, as those who have been given an exemplary role to play in the lives of our kids, when they watch your life, when they watch our lives, do they know what it looks like to have as your all-consuming goal and passion in life to be pleasing to the Lord? Do they know that's why you work every day? Do they know that's why you clean up after them every day? It's to be pleasing to the Lord? Now, kids, 2 more minutes, okay? Are you ready? Are you there? This is huge, okay? This is really, really important. You do have to obey God. You have to. You have to. And you do need to obey your parents. You have to. You must. But you know what? In order to get to heaven, you have to obey perfectly. God will not accept, not even one time. Ah, okay. No, He's too holy for that. He's too holy for that. You have to be perfect if God is going to accept you. So hear this. If you're not, you go to hell. Okay? If you were perfect, you'd go to heaven. Now listen. You cannot obey perfectly. You can't. You wonder why? Maybe some of you older ones who maybe are Christians or younger ones who really do know Christ. And it's like, man, why did I do that? I want to please God. What's going on with me? You can't do it perfectly. You cannot obey God perfectly. You can't. So that's a problem, right? If God says, hey, the only way you're going to get to heaven is if you're perfect, that's a problem. Because none of us, not even your parents, look around you, none of us is perfect. Only Jesus could do that. Only Jesus was perfect. And He did obey, and He obeyed perfectly. In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, it says that he continued in subjection to his parents. In other words, all of his childhood, he obeyed his parents perfectly. Perfectly. Not one whining. His dad was a carpenter. Hey, can you go grab the, I don't know how they had hammers or what they had going on back then. I don't know carpentry tools either, but go get me that thing. Yes, Dad? Right away. And he did it always to please God. And he went even further. You know, some of you have memorized this passage in Philippians chapter 2. That Jesus obeyed all of his life, and he obeyed so well. He obeyed even to the point of death on the cross. It says in Philippians 2:8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus obeyed even when it was not going to feel good. Really going to hurt physically, but even more so, all of what went on between him and his father in that time. We can talk about that later. But you know what? Romans 5 says this then about his obedience. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Hear this. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Who was the first one to disobey? Adam. Adam. Because of Adam's sin, we all are sinners, right? And we sin because we're sinners. Says this though, even so, through the obedience of the one, and that one, if you were looking at my Bible, is capitalized, talking about Jesus. Through the obedience of the one, many will be made righteous. In other words, they would be made acceptable to God. It is through Jesus' obedience that you can become acceptable to God, not your own. You cannot, kids, listen, you cannot obey enough to get God to like you more. You can't obey God enough to get him to get you to heaven. That's not what Paul is saying in Colossians 3:20. But here's the thing. Only Jesus obeyed enough to get people to heaven. And so you have to trust in Jesus Christ, his perfect obedience. That obedience that he did from the time he was a baby all the way till he was an adult, until he died on the cross and rose again on the third day, that's the only way you can be accepted by God, is to turn from your sin and trust only in Jesus' perfect obedience. Don't delay. You can trust in him today. Father, thank you for this time. I pray, oh God, that you'd be with our children. We love them. So thankful for all the kids, even here. We know that there are many even not here today. Lord, we're so grateful for this next generation that you've called us to raise in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Help us be faithful, God, as parents. But I pray, oh God, that you would grip the hearts of these children. Please, God, bring them to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Please save them. Help them, Lord, to be the type of children who obey you and obey their parents with a desire to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.